This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
To declare your independence on the Free Talk Live Network,
it's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Ernest Hancock on the Free Talk Live Network. We're continuing our conversation with Herberto Willis. And Willis is a talk show host from Texas, near Houston, north of Houston. And right when he was just going to give me what fur and explain it to me, he had to, you know, and then his battery on his Bluetooth headset or something went out. And so there was a delay there and got off track right when I wanted them come after me, you know? So, I don't know. It's a God thing. But, you know, I was looking forward to it. But we dragged it out of him, you know, as we continue with this. This is a libertarian, leave-me-alonist versus a progressive. And we're trying to have a civil conversation here, and I was really trying to prompt this kind of criticism. And right when he's going to give me what for, his mic went out. But it just went out for a few seconds, and it kind of derailed him. But later we get into it. So this, it wasn't intentional. But I just wanted you to know that. That was on his side. So we're going to continue the conversation. You're going to enjoy this. So stay right there and enjoy. My whole point is, when we have the racial issue on, which I really hate doing because I don't care, and I go, I don't care. You know, I thought that was the goal. I thought that was the point. Content of your character. I have probably in Arizona, most of my employees are Hispanic. I didn't care.
I need to interrupt you, brother. I need to interrupt you to say this. And that's a problem with you. All right? You are this boisterous, proud.
I lost your audio. Somebody tried to call in or something. Hey, he's conducting business. Got to do something.
Sure, you can hear me now?
Yeah. Let me go ahead and express myself fully so you understand so we can.
I'm going to fix this in a minute. Let's go ahead and fix that here. Okay. All right. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I something happened to this thing. I'm not sure what. It seems like it's not as long-lasting as it should be. Okay.
Okay, I want to bring you down a little bit. You're a little loud. Okay.
What I was trying to say is the following. You are not your typical white guy sort of a thing, okay? And you see things through the objective eyes that you're looking
for. Which is what I'm trying to advocate.
Right. But the problem is, that is not what we get in America.
So all the more reason not to give them a shiny badge and power to do the stupid stuff that they do. That's my point. You're making my point. You have people that are bad. Let's give them a shiny badge and some money. And an F-16. Let's do that. That's a bad idea. You know? So where's our F-35? It was here a minute ago. I mean, you know, this is one thing. Let me finish.
Yes.
When I have racial issues come up and so on, they go, well, this and that, now I don't care. Because I thought that was the point. I grew up in Florida in the 60s. I was born in 61. I remember, you know, the burial of RFK Jr. I remember when, you know, Martin Luther King got shot. I remember, you know, the Vietnam War. I remember, you know, this kind of stuff. I'm, you know, we're the same age. You know, you remember this stuff. So I remember busing. You know, I got, man, parents are all freaked out about us busing. I just had new friends. I didn't care. And I'm a kid. So the thing is that when I go to Babylon, I thought I wasn't supposed to care. I don't care. You know, I judge individuals as individuals. They're for this, against that. They want to steal from me. They want to take my stuff. They want to have an armed goon come in from the IRS with 87,000 newly armed tax guys want to take my crap, you know, and advocate it by my... I go, I don't care if you're black or white or whatever the hell. Don't care. Hell, white is going to be freaking minority in this country, if not already anyway.
So no, white, it's going to be a long time. It's a long time. Become more
Don't care. Don't care. Don't care.
I agree
don't
with
care.
You. You know, I agree
so
with you.
So anytime that you bring this stuff up, I go, how does it interact with my personal individual interactions with someone when there is a disadvantage? When there is, you know, wanton racism, you know, it's a society thing. It's been purged, you know, in my observation, from government to the point that it goes the other way. You know, I feel like I have got
that.
Racism against me, you know. So I'm going, whoa, 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 whoa. It's a crime to be white? You know, I'm just like,
no,
really? So the whole idea of affirmative action was a mistake. The idea of, what do you call it, restitution, reparations, you know, mistake. All of this, it just feeds into racism. We were less racist before Obama got in. When Obama, I was, of course, for Ron Paul, Obama gets in, and everybody was excited, and the minority community, I'm going, good for them. You know, you got to win, okay? Are we done now? No, it got worse.
What made it worse for you?
Because it's weaponized.
How did it get weaponized? In your parlance, what happened to make it weaponized?
It was weaponized way before. But you have the entitlement community. You go and you say, nope, can't have a father in the household, or you don't qualify for certain stuff.
That actually is terrible. That is what
destroyed
the black family.
They guaranteed you're going to have problems.
That destroyed the black family.
Guaranteed.
That destroyed the black family, yes.
Because when I was in Florida as a kid, you had the black community. They had the really cool church services, okay?
Yeah.
They had, the black businesses do whatever. You know, hey, can I go? Then, as a kid, the balcony in the movie theater, I wanted to sit up there. No, that's for the black people. I'm like, what makes them so special? How come they get the balcony? I want to go to the balcony. You know, I didn't understand. I was a kid. My father had a Gulf service station. I was a guy at, you know, from like 8 to 12 years old.
Pumped the gas for somebody.
I pumped the gas. I'd help with the change of tires. I was, you know, playing with whatever the heck, and I cleaned the bathroom. What were the cleaner? Three bathrooms. Mm-hmm. The one around the back that I didn't even know. I thought it was like a secret bathroom that was one of the neighbors. I had no idea. The back bathroom, always clean. The women's bathroom, always clean. The men's bathroom, grease and cripe everywhere. I'm always cleaning that thing. I go and use the bathroom, the third one in the back. One of the older guys that was the tire guy goes to my dad and he says, your son's using a colored bathroom, So my dad brings me over and he goes, now, son, you can't use that bathroom because that's for the colors. And I go, well, why do they get the clean bathroom? What the hell? What kind of crap is this, you know? That was nice, but I go, why do they get that? And then my dad looked at me, and he was, you know, freaking N-word all the time anyway, so it wasn't like he was any bastion of virtue. But, you know, he looked at me, and he saw the logic in my face. He's like, never mind, do what you want, you know. And I'm just like, that, I grew up with this stuff. I can see it happen.
I want to query you on two things, however, my brother, okay? First of all, understand that I don't believe, I think race is the most stupid thing, personally. But we live in a racialized society, and
hey, why do you say that?
Why do I say that?
Yeah,
we're in a, let me be frank. I'm a professional. I write books. I'm an engineer. I do all these things. And when I walk into a store, I am followed. I'm saying it's not only that I'm followed in a store. I've done all kinds of tests that shows that my hue, my pigmentation still to this day makes a difference in America. And I am not the type, you can have a regular conversation with me. You can tell me anything. You can even say certain things.
You know, I can agree with you on that, but I tell you, you know, it's a byproduct of them throwing Dad out of the house.
Let me qualify something.
I mean, you create these problems with people of color, and then it happens. It's on the news all the time. They experience it, and then they're not supposed to be wary.
Brother, let me say something here, because this is where I want to change your mindset on something, I hope. All right? What you see on TV about crime, black crime, isn't what really occurs in America. Let me tell you a little quick thing. If you go ahead and watch TV, all the crime you see is black. However, if you go to probation and all of that, you wonder, where did all these white people come from? Okay? Because, again, the image that we have, and it's by design. Remember what you talk about, government and media and all of that. It's by design. It is essential that when you look at black people, you look at black people. When I'm using this as just an example. It is important that you look at black people and see a problem, because that is how we control society. Let me tell you better. The same
problem. I just look at a government program and I see a problem. I don't look at people.
I understand. But government, you and I already agree that government is a part of the fascist system from the corporate system, right? You and I agree on that. Corporations control government. Government is in cahoot with corporations, and corporations need to stay viable. Corporations need to keep a certain amount of angst between people so that they can continue the control of people. Let me finish. As it turns out now, when you see crime on TV, it looks black, it looks Latino, it looks brown. But when you go to the, when you go and look at the actual stats, that's not true. Let's even go one step further. If you take a look at let's go down the Appalachian Trail from Pennsylvania, Alabama, and all these places, right? They have the same degeneracy that you have, let's say, in the ghetto. So my program, Politics Done Right, I say whenever we unite the barrios, the ghettos, and Appalachia, we are going to win the battle. What that means is when white people, poor white people, when black folk in the ghettos and when Latinos in the barrios realize, hey, guys, you know what? We got the same thing going on. That's when we make the change. Because the same thing that you see from a socioeconomic degree in every single community is replicated. From birth rates, out of wedlock, all of that's the same.
No, I don't have a problem with, you know, facts. But here's a fact.
Yeah.
You have an Asian or a black or whatever does a murder, and then the news says, mostly white guy does whatever. I went through, I give you a perfect example. If you put up, you do a search on Ernest Hancock CNN, okay?
Yeah.
I guarantee it comes up with black man with an AR-15, Chris, was a Ron Paul revolutionary back when Obama came to Phoenix, and I'm interviewing him. Chris Matthews on MSNBC, freak, gotta have it. He wouldn't do it live. The only one that would do it, I go, I'll talk to you, but it's live. CNN. Yeah. I go on CNN, do you know what happened. MSNBC wouldn't show that he was black. It was white skinheads doing everything.
You know, it is amazing because, and I think that's a detriment to all sides, right?
Of course.
A detriment to all sides. And let me tell you what I do. There was a guy in South Carolina, I think it was. The police officers broke into his home. I think he was a drug dealer, white guy, and blow him up to smithereens. They got the wrong house. Nobody covered it. I covered it.
Thank you.
All right. The reason I'm trying to say this is we are being manipulated. Now, I want to push back with you on one thing, however. I take exception when we talk about reverse discrimination, depending on how it's in what context it is, right? Because
it's always bad.
No. What I'm saying is, I'm not saying it's not always bad. Prejudice and racism, all of that stuff is bad. But I think the narrative I don't want to go out there is that somehow white men are currently at a disadvantage in society. Because that is a narrative that a lot of folks not.
Oh, they are trying to make sure you're at a disadvantage.
No.
We're under targeted.
No, wait, my brother, wait. You're talking to a black man here, all right? The truth of the matter is white guys are never at a disadvantage in this currency. If you have a few puny people saying the white guy did this or the white guy that are, none of that matters because the capital in this country and everything in this country is controlled by the white guy. The thing that we have to realize is the one oppressing the other white guys is the white guy on top.
Right.
And that is what we have to get.
I'm with
you
there.
In other words, so here's the deal. We can't be messing with the we can't be, you and I should be in cahoots against that white guy on top.
Absolutely. To have people of, I say, oh, is this people of color thing? What the hell does that even mean?
I don't know. I'm a black dude. I'm a Panamanian. I'm a Latino black guy.
I'm a freaking human being. Hell,
I'm
redheaded, freckle face. Ginger wasn't cool when I was little.
Hey, and you're a good looking white guy. You're a good looking white guy. Let me tell you something, okay?
Old white guy.
Listen. No, you're not the same age. Don't give me that bull. I just have no hair on my head. That's all. But again, I want you and I to be in this cahoots to get the big shots because the idea is this. Those white guys that I see marching around with these stuff that we will not be replaced, it pisses me off. And the reason it pisses me off is not at those guys, not at my white brothers and sisters that are talking about we will not be replaced. It's the guys who are making them think that they're being replaced to control them. And that is what gets me. So when I talk about, and let's get back to my book in a little bit. When I talk about how to talk to your right wing relatives, friends, and neighbors, a lot of my stuff after I go through the technical stuff about how economics work and all that kind of stuff is to say, brothers, we are on the same team. It's the system. Who do you think love each other better? Do you think Oprah and I'm going to use a white billionaire and a black billionaire. Do you think Oprah and Trump would do anything for you and I? Hell no. They are, to them, they will work together against us. I did a blog piece on my show with the guy who bought BET. I think it's Johnson or something like that. Who sold BET, okay? This guy goes on TV.
Black entertainment television. Okay.
Right. Okay. This guy goes on TV. He's a 100 complete percent capitalist. Doesn't give a damn about anything. The capitalist class is a very thin class. They make us believe we're all capitalists. We're not. A very thin class. And they work together. Kanye West and people call Donald Trump a racist, right? I do as well. But here's the thing I know deep on the inside. Deep on the inside, I know Kanye West and Trump are buddies. I know that all these black guys that are moneyed are buddies with Trump. It's a game, and we have to play the game better than they do, or we're gonna continue to be eaten up.
You know how I win the game? I don't play it. I do not play that game.
And you know that's what
when you said. Let me inject this. When you said that, you know, it's the white guys at the top. Well,
yes.
There's some Chinese in there. There's some Germans, some Russians.
There's some black guys, too.
There's some from Mexico. There's a black guy. I don't even look at that as a race thing. You know,
right.
There are most of them. Hell, there's a lot more women now. I look at Pelosi and, you know, the power of the white woman doing the witch of whatever the hell. See, I don't even look at that. I don't care. I don't care.
Because nobody should care.
We should do what you're saying. We should come together and recognize it's the power. It's the office. It's
the
shiny badge. It's the philosophy and the mindset that they can and mind should rule you. You are too stupid to govern yourself, and the elite needs to tell you what to do, because we're doing you a favor, you dummy.
I agree with you, but the thing about it is I have to get to those white guys that are marching, "You won't replace us." I got to get them to see who the enemy really is.
What do I care?
I do care.
Why?
Because they're going to shoot me.
I don't believe that.
Hey, brother, let me tell you. I was going to go out to Waco, right, to hang out with some militia guys, right? I met this militia guy in D.C., and he's like, "Hey, Berta, you know how to talk to people, and you like people and all of that. I'm gonna bring you into the with the militia, right?" And I said, "You know, I'm going to do it." So I come home. My wife, I'm a black Panamanian, and I'm using race because here it matters. As I told you, I do think race is stupid, but it
definitely matters to you.
Yes. No. I'm telling you, it matters, right? Well, I think you agree with me. So it shouldn't, but it does. So my wife now is a born American, and she looked at me and said, "To hell you are going and talk to those militia guys." And I'm like, "Look, we're going to have a talk. I'm going to sit down and have..."
What, she's afraid you're going to be a running target or something?
She's afraid. She's scared to death. You know, and what I'm saying is, that is the reality of some people, right? And you are not a good example because you are a straight up guy and you say whatever the hell you mean. I love talking to you. I disagree with you on part of that stuff about, the race thing. But you're an up and standing guy. We can rap. But not everybody likes you.
I thought not seeing race was the goal.
It is the goal.
Okay.
It's what we want.
I reached it. I win. Done. Next.
I got you. I don't disagree with you. That unfortunately, you got to bring a lot of other folks on with you.
I don't have
so
to
your
anything.
Set the example. Wait. I made the mistake. Whenever, that's how I talk. I don't mean to say you have to do a damn thing.
No,
you're
I understand.
Freedom guy. So that doesn't go.
But I'm
right.
going to take advantage of every opportunity I get.
I know you're going to. I know you're going to. But what I'm saying, brother, is that, other white guys have to look at you and check you out and see that kind of a stuff and say, "Hey, damn, if the one and only Ernest Hancock thinks like that, then the best form of flattery is imitation. They'll start imitating you, and then they will become you." All of that's in my book.
My view is that I used to think that everybody was liberty-oriented. Everybody was libertarian. They just didn't know it yet.
Yes, I agree.
Then it gets, over time, I'm going, there is personality types. There are some. And then a lot of the politicians, early on, the late 80s, early 90s, I'm like, something's wrong with these people. And it wasn't until the last few years, one of my regular guests, we were talking about sociopathy. I always hear you, sociopath, psychopath. What the heck does that even mean?
Get it off of me, this ring.
I'm giving it to you.
Don't tempt me, father. I dare not take it. I would use this ring from a desire to do good, but through me it would wield a power too great and terrible to imagine.
But it cannot stay in the Shire.
No, it can't.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. Senator Bob Menendez is speaking out for the first time since federal bribery and corruption charges were leveled against him last week.
I firmly believe that when all the facts are presented, not only will I be exonerated, but I still will be the New Jersey's senior senator.
He condemns snap judgments made with incomplete information and stresses his right to the presumption of innocence. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and California Governor Gavin Newsom will engage in a red state versus blue state debate moderated by Fox News host Sean Hannity on November 30th in Georgia. The two governors, known for their public disputes and policy critiques, are set to face off after years of disagreements. And starting today, Americans can order additional free COVID-19 tests online. The federal government is reinstating its program to supply free test kits due to the escalating COVID hospitalizations across the nation. Each household has the option to order up to 4 tests at covidtests.gov. Skip Kelly, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. Readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com are constantly provided the information that detail the real news between the lines of propaganda about government policies and the true relationship we all have with coercive governments. Learn the true condition of our economy, innovations and technological breakthroughs in energy, health, computer science, and space travel. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media, the media that is so last century. Corporate media has evolved into nothing more than distributors of government propaganda. But we now have a fantastic alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com provides constant news updates on the issues that affect our lives in the most important ways. Our liberty and our property are under constant attack, and FreedomsPhoenix.com provides an understanding behind the propaganda while encouraging the participation of our readers. Join us at FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, where the revolution between the ears is already mature.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and the Free Talk Live Network on Genesis. And we're continuing our conversation with Egberto Willis. He is a talk show host, an entrepreneur, a businessman, and a progressive out of Kingwood, Texas, which is near Houston. He's a self-proclaimed progressive, hardcore. And he has just written a book, How to Talk to Your Right-Wing Relatives, Friends, and Neighbors, because they need a talking to. So we're having fun. We continue. A lot of the politicians, you know, early on, the late 80s, early 90s, I'm like, something's wrong with these people. And it wasn't until the last few years, one of my regular guests, we were talking about sociopathy. I always hear you're a sociopath, psychopath. What the heck does that even mean? It's like you're calling somebody, you know, whatever. It was demeaning in some way, but I didn't even know what it meant.
Right.
Then as we started, it was during the 16 campaign, and my guess, we did, since Trump came down the escalator in the summer of 15, a good friend of mine that's Republican, he's a doctor in Scottsdale, and he goes, now, Ernie, don't be a hater. He was a Ron Paul guy. Don't be a hater, but I want to come on every week and do the Trump Report.
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing it for like 8 years. We just finished it this morning.
Because it gets a lot of eyeballs. I mean, it's great, right?
I go, heck yeah, bring it on. Because what's he going to do? Trump, guy wrote Trump, MAGA Trump and bad guys and government Trump. And I'm like, right. You're still voting? I go, I don't care. I haven't voted since 2002. I run for office. Yeah, I've run for state legislature twice, secretary of state twice, Congress 3 times, county recorder, U.S. Senate against McCain. I run, but I don't vote. And they'll come to me and go, we have that, you didn't vote. All the seasoned reporters that know me go, no, never ask Ernie that, you know. So I go, let me tell you why. So this is, I'm experienced in forums, in debates, television, you know, doing, I've been doing this for decades and decades.
But you are a rebel. You are a rebel.
Not as much as people try and think. When we started doing the 16 campaign, and Dr. Frank, you know, I'd read Sociopath Next Door, and they had some experiences with a friend, something. And he started describing what it meant. And then all of a sudden, it was like a lightning bolt. That is what was wrong with these politicians I've been dealing with all these years. They don't care. They have no empathy. There's no shame or guilt. They do whatever the hell they want, and they're selected for those traits by people that want them to do whatever, and they have no moral hurdle to get over because they don't care. They don't care. They're going to do whatever they want because they don't care. Pay me, I do it. And I have to sit there and market, advertise to me. It's the shiny badge. It's the power. And I'm going to eliminate the power. And whatever power you have, make it local, the way it used to be. All of these problems that we have, you can trace it back to some act, some new law, some new decision, some new something that kept diminishing the power of individual Americans and consolidated it with the protection of shiny badges and guns by the government. And it's one of the reasons why the Second Amendment is so important to liberty people. You just ask the Australians, ask the Germans, ask the Chechens, ask the Serbians, ask. This is because they did what they did in Australia during the lockdown, the brutality, because they took all their guns a decade before. You know, or longer. This is.
I think that is the part where I think I would disagree with you. That is a one and all this long conversation, right? That's it. Look, if you want to have a gun and all of that, I don't have a problem with that. I believe in the Second. I don't like the Second Amendment, but I live with the Second Amendment, right? In other words, that you have the right to have the gun and all that good stuff.
Why?
That's not around me.
Why?
That's not around me.
Why?
I don't want it around
Why?
Me.
Okay.
Because. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, no, I want to, you know, your opposition to guns, they're dangerous, they're scary, they're threatening, they're something, you know.
Right.
Why do you think that was the Second Amendment? Why not the 10th? Why not even off of it? I mean, why do you think
because
it was there?
It's not a difficult, the same reason you had a 3/5 Amendment, it was the times.
No.
The times. It was the times.
To protect the First Amendment. When the alternative is there, what did JFK say? JFK goes, if those that make peaceful revolution impossible make violent revolution inevitable.
Look, that's true. That's true. That is true. But again, I don't think you have, look, like I said, we have a Second Amendment, and I just want the Second Amendment to have some features that protect me as well.
Okay, me, who's a person that don't like guns.
How are you going to be protected with doing away with guns?
The more vulnerable you are, the more I feel like I always look at school shootings.
Some mulch, I go, there wasn't enough guns. You know, the gun is always the one that stops the bad guy anyway.
I don't buy that because of what the stats say. But that's fine. We don't have to agree on that. I can stat the crap out of you. Look, if you go to every country, we are the country that has the most shooting, all that good stuff, right?
Not if you take out the Democratic-run big cities. You take out New York, L.A., Philadelphia, Chicago, and all of a sudden we're number 170 out of 190 countries.
First of all, I can't argue with you on that number because I haven't looked it up in that regard. So I looked it up as America. But even if you take out those cities, you'd have to include Oklahoma, Tulsa, and all the cities that have the highest murder rates, which are not Democratic cities. The cities in America with the highest, and you can look that one up, the cities with the highest murder rates are red cities, you know? So, that is something that we should put into the ethos there. But I don't even look at it that way, because, you know, red cities, blue cities, whatever, a dead man is a dead man is a dead man, right? Yeah. So, I mean, what I want is, again, you can have your gun. You can do whatever. I don't like guns. I have a bat in my house. If somebody comes into my house before they get to me, I'll be hiding and batting their heads off, you know. But that's just because stats also tell you that most of the people who get hurt with the guns in their homes are your relatives. But again, that's not to say I want to take away your right. We wrote it into the Constitution. It's not going to change in the Constitution. I just want my rights protected as well.
Which is what? What is your right? What is it that you have to do to protect your right?
I have my personal welfare, and that is to be around, having the opportunity to have places where guns are not, where I can tell you I don't want a gun in here.
And somebody's going to decide where that is.
No.
Wherever you are.
Let's use your freedom methodology. And your freedom methodology would say, if you want to be in my proximity, right, come without your gun. If I have a store and I don't want guns in my store, you can't have a gun in my store.
No, I'm all about property rights. We went through this.
So that's what I'm saying. If a corporation also
wants
to
go, I'm in the park. Everybody, you got like this invisible shield around you. Nobody can have guns.
Let's talk about the park stuff, because that's true. You have a valid point there. You may be with a group of folks who say, you know, we want to have parks that have these things. Well, where possible, we can have parks that are gun-free and parks that are laissez-faire. What I'm saying is, if you really like
freedom. We've gone through this before.
I know. If you really want freedom, right, let's create the policies that can give people the most freedom possible. And that is, I don't want to infringe on your right. You don't want to infringe on my right. And that's where we come together.
The thing that is, you know, was really, there was a, that's a long story, but I was asked to write a guest column for the Arizona Republic on this issue.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Why is it always guns? And it was, mm-hmm. I plagiarized the crap out of a libertarian friend of mine. I go, hey man, I want to take this theme. I mean, I of course changed it a little bit, but you know, it was that concept. And because I'm a libertarian activist for freedom of everything. I mean, I didn't pick and choose one of their, the freedom's the answer, what's the question?
Mm-hmm.
But then it was like, Ernie, it's always guns with you. Why is it always guns? And I'm going, because it's a Vulcan mind meld into the state. It's how they see you. Mm-hmm. You know, they'd rather have my 120-pound wife strangled with her pantyhose in an alley than her have the ability to defend herself against a 230-pound attacker. And I'm going, why? Why is that?
Do you really believe that, though?
Yeah. They would rather have somebody dead than emphasize that they defended themselves legally with a firearm.
You see, I don't believe, I am not, I don't
see it all
that.
The time.
But here's the thing. I don't, look, if somebody is in peril and there's somebody with a gun, I want them to use that gun. Okay? So I
don't like this extreme thing about, oh, we like you like guns. Do I consider you a bad person because you like guns?
No. It's not, that's not even it. I give you a perfect example so you understand.
Yeah.
I have 12 grandkids, okay?
Yeah.
We go out, there's you know, whichever family or the boys of this, there's always, we're going out, Papa's going to movies, Papa's going go-karting, Papa's going desert, we're something. So normally, usually, you know, I don't go out with a firearm on. So, or I have small concealable ones I just put in my pocket, you know, whatever. Now, my gunny friends, oh, Ernie, you can't. I go, well, are you armed? I go, well, good. You can have your back to the door. You can protect me. And they go, well, don't count on it, you know. So I'm just like, you know, so I don't really, I'm not that afraid unless I'm going to somewhere where I need a gun, you know.
Well, in Colorado, you should be afraid of going to the darn movie theater. That's where this guy came
I mean, you know, so, but when I go with my grandkids, I'm on another level of responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, I have, you know, my kids would freaking disown me if I wasn't able to defend them, you know. So, I'm way more, when Donna and I, my wife and I got more responsibility. I'm out with friends. There's a lot of women. I have children, you know, something like that. I make a greater effort to make sure that I am armed, okay?
No.
Am I really worried? Not for myself. I just don't really care. Yeah, but I have it available. It's in the car, or it's in here on the bus, or I have probably over a couple of dozen guns. Not all of them are on the bus or back in Arizona, most of them.
Right.
You know, I have, you know, enough that I need. There's been some sketchy stuff going on, you know.
Well, so I'm on the road. I can see. Let me tell you. And that is something that I may have to consider. I've talked about having a politics done right bus, not a bus, a van, a politics done right van going around doing stops and all that good stuff whenever I get it funded. But, and that is something that I would actually really have to consider. But you see, I have another thing to consider when I'm talking about having a gun in a car, right?
Each state's different.
No, but that's
but
not the
you're
only
in
thing.
Texas.
I'm in a crazy state, man. I don't even need to get a license. I can just go get a gun.
Woo!
All right. But here's the race thing that's gonna come in again. Whenever you are around a cop and you say you have a gun, I know you don't like to hear this because you think it's racialized, but it is true that you have to be quite careful and act quite differently.
Yeah.
You ought to see me on stops. Okay. And I'm an educated book writing, radio host, all of that. You have a gun? No, sir. Can I see your license? May I take my right hand and put it into my left pocket? I'm telling you, you know, that is my behavior.
You know, it's mine also. Let me tell you this. My father, at one time, he was a deputy sheriff in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And then he became a city councilman in Decatur, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, you gave that guy a gun and a badge? You gave him authority? Or I go, man, who the heck did that? You know, I know, I said, well, we are in trouble, you know?
Yeah.
So it's my experience in being stopped and everything, because it depends also on what bumper stickers you have, what events you're at, you know, so I'm always, you know, on the, or are they just targeting you, you know, for the kind of activism that we do. So we've had a lot of relationships with police and the confrontation prevention squad and relations department, public relations and stuff. So it's been not totally based on if I was white or black. You run up against the sand. This is the point that I want to make. If it is we're after the people that are abusing their power, which are a bunch of black cops, okay?
I agree. Oh, wait,
beating the crap out of somebody.
Wait, you said that. I am so sorry that you said that before I said it. And let me, because, again, I write about this, okay? It's the police force itself. When you are a police, you are not black or white. You are authority. And the difference here is the following. This authority know that the life of Ernest Hancock is more problematic than the life of Egberto Willis. In other words, the chances of their ballots that they would use on Egberto Willis would be likely greater than what they use on Ernest Hancock. Not a nice thing to say, but the evidence is there that shows that. That kid that was running from those five black cops that beat the crap out of him till he died, you know, folks, all my right-wing folks came on my radio show and said, you see, look at what these are black cops. And I had to point them and I said, when did I ever say white police officer, or when did I ever say that integrating a police force or making a police force more black or whatever is going to change the behavior? It's not the issue. The issue is, how does that behavior reflect on people of different hues? And that's what it's all about. And I wish more people would get it. You sure did get it.
I get a lot of things.
The main
thing, the main thing that I get is that there is a conscious, targeted effort against freedoms of individuals that are not doing what they, them, those, the collective, want them to do.
And we're going to agree.
Compliance is number one.
And we agree.
We went through this. Here, let me see if I can show this. I wanted to go ahead and make this, you know, where people could see.
Mm-hmm.
God, I got another one open up here. It's, you know, the Love Bus is what I wanted to show. As we're out doing this stuff, there it is. Okay.
There it is.
As we're going around, I don't get stopped much, or, you know, people come up, they just want to, you know, they recognize the logo for the Lovolution or whatever.
Come to Houston, man.
And, you know, do I or do I not go around armed in my mobile on the road wheeled home? Can I? So in Arizona, we have books that are like gun rights and gun laws around the country. You know,
right.
This is a place, this is not a place, you can do this, you can't do that. Of course, you go east of the Mississippi or northeast in New England, whatever, they shoot you on sight for having a gun or whatever. But then Joe Biden goes, oh, well, you just need a 12-gauge. Really? Is that how it's going to go? Okay, so I had a 12-gauge. That's all I brought the first round before we went back to Arizona. Joe Biden says I can have 12 gauge. I got 12 gauge. Are we good now? Am I legal? Are we all set? And then everybody goes, well, you know, it's your home, so you can defend your home. You get to have a little more or do this. At some point, you just go, never freaking mind. The hell with them. You know, I'd rather be alive, you know, facing a jury. But they make it as difficult as possible. They threaten you with everything and anything. Oh, my God, you're defending yourself.
Hey, let me tell you what I think we have to do. I think we have to reclaim the government as a collective. And that means, like I said, I don't like guns, right? I don't like the idea of having guns. I can't go up against an F-16 anyway. So, I mean, for those people who think having guns protect them from the government, I say wishful thinking. But that said, what I do want all of us to do is come together as a collective. As I say in my book, right? I want us to realize that we are all on the same team.
There is a lot of groups that do the same thing. They're like, we got to come together and do what we want.
Yeah, but they do it wrong. A lot of them.
They're doing it wrong.
Let me tell you
I'm
what I mean
it right.
by that.
Let's do
Let
my club.
No, I would be, I would join your club and be a part of your club and also make changes within your club. In other words, what I'm saying is,
That's why I don't have clubs.
No, here's what I mean. I'm serious here. Here's what I mean. This is funny, right? The problem with a lot of progressives or these other organizations is they think they have to be in control, right? I believe in the collective. I don't have to be in control of a damn thing. I just want to have my voice heard, right? So if you want to call something liberty, whatever, and we say we are forming a collective to take over government or whatever, I am there, brother. And I'm saying, okay, how do we work together? How do we do it? Because I know who the enemy really is. And it's not you, And look, there are a couple
things. Well, skip to the end. Who is it? Let's get it.
The enemy is the fascist system that has controlled our government.
Done.
Okay.
Damn Whitey.
That's it. Huh? What you call me?
Damn Whitey. Let's go get Whitey.
Actually, it's not Whitey. They would love for them to have that stuff. It's the guy on the top. And like, and you remember when I brought
up
Oprah?
Yeah, but you keep saying the guy on the top is white. And I don't care.
Wait a minute. No, I did say that, brother. I did say that. That's why I gave you the example of Oprah and Trump.
See, I don't even need examples. I don't care.
You may not, but others do.
You know who did it well? It was Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman goes, you know, all this racism because you guys keep bringing it up. Stop.
No, but actually, I am reminded of it all the time, though. I know. You see, Morgan Freeman is a known figure. Morgan Freeman doesn't have to go through the things that Egberto Willis, who's an unknown figure, has to go through. And that's where some people don't have the empathy.
But the solution isn't another form of affirmative action or racism.
When I got out of University of Texas, I was complete. Let me know when I need to cut off, but I was completely.
No, we'll go until you're boring or bored. I don't care.
Okay. I was completely against affirmative action when I got out of the University of Texas. But I wasn't against it because I didn't think it was needed. I was against it because how I thought guys like you would look at me as if I was only good enough because of affirmative action to get to the company. And I can tell you some stories. I wrote it in another book that I have there where I got a particular job. This woman, she loved me. She loved my work. She loved my work ethic. So she gave me a job that really I was a bit underqualified for. In other words, it needed a degree over what I had. And she hired me anyway, and I had to go speak to the vice president of the company, and the vice president of the company said, he slammed the door behind me, and I'm scared now, you know, and he says, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know why Pat likes you, but she really likes you, all right? You've got 6 months, and I don't want to hear a damn thing about affirmative action. The 6-month project was done in 2 months. She came into my office, and I said, oh, listen to that guy. You are, you know, our engineer, all that good stuff. But what I'm trying to say, the only reason I always bring that particular subject up is affirmative action played a part in getting my foot into the door, right?
And of course it did.
Absent that, it wouldn't happen. So, I mean, a lot of people are against affirmative action. I'm not against affirmative action. I know you're against reparations. I got some questions for you about reparations, maybe for the next show that you invite me to.
The guy was named Wilmer Leon. Donna, you know, pulled it up for me. Professor Wilmer Leon at
Howard.
Former CIA officer and survival expert Jason Hansen here. I teach people how to prepare for the unexpected. Right now, most Americans are not ready for the death of the U.S. dollar. You have money sitting in cash, and if you don't act soon, your financial future could be at risk. I have partnered with Advantage Gold, the number one rated precious metals company in America, to release my new digital dollar survival kit that's 100% free for everyone who calls today and claims your free survival kit. Simply call 800-900-8000 and give your email address, and I will have this new digital dollar survival kit sent to you immediately. Call 1-800-900-8000 now and claim your free kit, and also mention my name, Jason Hansen, and see how you could also qualify for $1,000 in free silver. Supplies are limited, so call right now before it's too late. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.